God is waiting for you. He's asking you to trust Him. This morning, let's trust Him some more. Let's have a great day with God. Let's open up our hearts and minds to receive today what it means to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bring us into church this morning.
Everybody was at Bible study Tuesday. They know which one of the folks who wrote in the Gospels would wrote about the proclaiming Jesus coming, right? That would be Brother Mark wrote that because he was writing to the Roman Christians and they wanted to hear the proclamation. The Romans had the big horns proclaiming when the king was coming. And that was beautiful. That song just made me think Jesus was coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand up and pray together this morning. Church, Second Congregational. Hallelujah. We are so blessed to have this church. There's people that can't have a church, that are looking for other churches, have to meet at other churches, have to come and hurry and scurry out later, and they can't talk, and they can't fellowship. And Greg and I were just watching everybody fellowship this morning. Right here in this church, we're building for God. This home, this new family that we're doing, we all got to come together. This is so beautiful. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated this morning, church. Hallelujah. Welcome to my world. I can hear Jesus saying that on every page that you read. welcome to my world, and you've come to his house today. Be excited about what God can do for you today. Be excited and receive it. Remember last week I said, don't take your own advice, because that's the person you listen to all the time. You listen to yourself the most. Put him aside today and let God enter you. I'm going to read a little bit. Responsive reading, Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter.
I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation.
So now I pray, O Lord, I pray, and send now prosperity.
Blessed is he in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord.
His children are blessing him this morning. God is sitting in heaven this morning. According to the Bible, the angels are traveling around him, praising his name, and your praises enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the word of God. God hears your praise. God hears you talk to him on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, but you came here today to hear God's message. What a beautiful thing. He died to free us from the effects and the penalties of sin. You might want to write that down. This is very important. He died to free us from the effects and the penalty of sin. That's why he died on that cross. Not because we were sinners, but to free us from the penalty of sinning. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He did it no charge. That means it was free. He did it free. His mercy, amazing grace, was given to us free. The only thing you had to do was believe. Now, we saw a commercial on this morning and kind of made me think, well, God gives it for free. There's a car commercial this morning that said, for $6,000 down and $999 a month, you can drive it around in a brand new Maserati. How about that? And God's saying, I want 10 cents on the dollar. That's the Old Testament. Anybody know that the Bible says 10 cents on the dollar? That's tithing. That's what it says. And there's one of the prophets in the Old Testament said, if you don't do that, you're cheating God. But I don't like to go that route. I don't like to talk about I just want to put in your heart to give to God. Amen. And when you give to God and he gives back. The other night we went to a concert where we played, all the guys played, and they had a 50-50, and they were so good to us, so I put a little extra. I bought the tickets for that, and they had donations for coffee, and they had a piece of pie, so I put a little extra in there because it's at a church and it benefits the church, and I won one of the 50-50 raffles, and I just gave him glory for that. I mean, I was just, and you know, I just give him thanks, because when you give, you never know how quickly it's given back. Amen. No charge, freely given, only believe. He died to free us from the effects and the penalties of sin. Some churches today are going to read this to you. And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they're going to preach on that. And you're going to be listening and say, what does that mean for me, Ron? What does it mean that I was saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony? Let me read a little bit from John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the message which we heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Here's the line. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How many? And what cleanses us? The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Who's faithful? And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who forgives us? What do we have to do? We have to confess. Who do we confess to? We're going to get more into that too. Hallelujah. It says in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this is great, George Michael, I want you to listen to this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So you might be a baby today. You might be a baby drinking the milk today, but God says you're a new creation. So you're building yourself up from a new spot. You understand? God said, the Bible says you're a new creation. So the old person that you think you were, that you could never be forgiven, all these things are gone. The Bible says you're a new creation. Sin. Hallelujah. Leviticus. I'm going to go back to the book of Leviticus. Anybody ever hear that book before? I know Mary has. The book of Leviticus simply means pertaining to Levites. How many know there were 12 tribes in the nation? The Hebrew nation had 12 tribes. And one of them were the Levites. And they were put in charge of the laws and the rules and the regulations for the Hebrew nation. Now, the 12 tribes, here's how simple that is. You picture a map of Israel, and you just put it in 12 sections. Basically, it's that simple. Each tribe was from a different section of Israel. That's all it really was. And they're made up of families, Karen. Might be fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, cousins, nephews. That would be a tribe. That would be a nation. It would sort of be like, anybody here Italian besides me? How many Italians we have here? Now you have DeMarco John, my dad, and you have the people on the island who are Sicilian, and you have Napolitans. Y'all heard, those are all still what? Italian, right? So that's the same thing with when they talk about the 12 tribes. That's all it really means, Deacon Sergio, is that there were 12 sections of Israel that God divided, and each one was given certain responsibilities. Now in the book of Leviticus, it's pertaining to the Levites who were in charge of the system of laws for all the Hebrew nation. So when you start to read that, it gets pretty intense. In the book of Leviticus are the rules for atonement of sin. Say that with me. The atonement of sin. For our sins to be forgiven. Now I'm going to be honest with you. It's very harsh. Because God takes sin very seriously. Say that with me. God takes sin very seriously. Why would he do that? Because it separates you from him. He does not want his children to suffer. He does not want his children going down the wrong roads. So sin to God was very serious and still is very serious. We might be 2,000 years removed, but it's just as serious today as it was in the day. Hey, can I get an amen? Imagine if God judged us on our own character. Imagine if he just said, I'm not doing anything for you. I'll just judge you by what you say and what you do, and I'll be your judge, and that'll be it. Quotes for us, they used to say. Now, it's going to sound harsh to you when we read Leviticus, but you got to understand, God showed man that there must be tremendous value in what we offer God for our sins and the Old Testament. There is life in the blood. Can you say that with me? There is life in the blood. It took the blood of those animals to pay the price for our sins. Now, how many people love animals today? Oh, I love animals. I can't imagine sacrificing animals, having all that. But God understood that it took a life. And those animals back in that day stood in place of the person committing the sin. It was so much more that they took the animal, and you're going to understand that it had to be a special animal. It had to be the best animals that they had, without blemish. In other words, the male bull or the goat or the sheep had to be without blemish. A male who hadn't made it. You know, a perfect, the best of the best. God wanted the what? The best of the best. You're going to sacrifice yourself for sin. God demanded the best. So in Leviticus, you're going to hear that. There were strict rules when offering your sacrifice, or it would not be accepted. Amen. It would not be accepted. You say, well, would God ever not accept the sacrifice if I gave it? I'm going to go back to the book of Genesis for chapter 4. I'm going to read for you for a minute. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore a son, Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was keeper of the sheep. What did he keep of? But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Let me be frank with you. The Bible never says why God didn't accept Cain's offering. But if you read Leviticus and you study a little more, you begin to realize Cain was a tiller of the ground. So he was going to offer what? Fruit and vegetables. Now the Bible says you have to offer your first fruits. In other words, when you tithe, you're supposed to give 10% from the beginning of your paycheck, not the end of your paycheck. You're supposed to give 10%. So when you're doing with the first fruits, Cain was supposed to give the first fruit of the crop, the first crop, the first fruit that came out, the most important, the most you're so excited about. Amen? Understand, he's so excited about all that, and he takes the fruit and the vegetables, and he's going to offer it to God. That's what was supposed to be offered. But it could have been, and if you read Leviticus, it could have been that he did take some of the really good fruit and vegetables, Sergio, but he also took some and ate of it before he offered it to God, which made it no longer first fruit. Maybe he took it and didn't offer it in the way that God wanted him to offer it, in the way the Bible told him to. But perhaps it just wasn't the first fruit. Maybe he offered some with blemishes. Maybe he, like I said, the most important thing I get from Leviticus is maybe he actually ate, him and his family ate some of that before they took the offering later and gave it to God. But for whatever reason, God did not accept the offering. Amen? So this is very serious. In the Old Testament, where the man had to bring his offering to the high priest. The high priest was in charge of receiving the offering. And he would take the bull, take the goat, take the sheep, whatever it was, and they would stand with the offering. And the man who was giving the offering for their sin would have to stand with his hand put on the head of the bull or the head of the sheep. Anybody know why that was? Because when you put your hand on the bull, Jim, it represented you. You took it and you represented it. You said you claimed it. This is me. This animal was going to die for my sins. And he put his hand on it before the high priest could do anything for the sacrifice. That's how it was in the Old Testament. Amen. That's how the Jewish nation had to atone for their sins. That's what they did. So let's read a little bit. First Leviticus. Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of the meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Without what? He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting before the Lord. He shall then put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. And it goes on to say, and the priest shall burn all of the altar, all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Hallelujah. You say, why did they have to burn it, Pastor Larry? It just says it right there, Sergio. They had to burn it. When you burn something, what comes out? Smoke. Where does smoke go? It rises. And where does it rise to? Heaven. So when God saw the offering and that sweet aroma came up, that's where the atonement came. That's where the forgiveness came. And the Bible calls it the sweet aroma of the offering, of the atonement. And that's why they had to burn the offering. That's what's called a burnt sacrifice. That's what they had to do. Let me say that again. They had to do it that way or else they were not forgiven. That's the way it was. The animals took our place. They took the place of our sins. Hallelujah. By fire. Sheep, goats, the most special animals that they owned were the ones they had to sacrifice. Whether it be the fruit, it had to be the first fruit. If it was a grain offering, it had to be the best of the grain offering. I know we talked at Bible study about frankincense. Anybody ever hear the word frankincense? Sometimes when you do a grain offering, you have to... Frankincense is a rosin. Similar to anybody ever... cut into a cedar tree. I know some of the guys here, when you cut through a cedar tree, it has the most beautiful aroma. It has that scent of cedar that's so pleasing. Well, that's frankincense. That's what it's a rosin from certain trees that has a pleasant aroma. When it's sent up to heaven, God smells the aroma and it's pleasant to God. Amen. That's what he does. And that frankincense is actually from an old French, two words, frank and sense. It's not one word. It's actually two words that we put together to make it easier, I reckon. You know, people always do things to make it easier. Thank you, Lord. And the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice and the offering made by a fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Well, I got good news for everybody. How many want good news this morning? You want good news? We don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to do that anymore. Ever, ever, ever again. We have somebody who did it once for all. Jesus had to be without sin. George, understand it. He had to be without sin, no blemish, or God the Father would not have accepted the sacrifice of his Son. He had to be pure. He had to be the lamb that was slain that was pure. He came, Jesus came down for one reason, to set us free from the laws of sin, to set us free from the bondage of sin. That's why he came. That's why he came here, to save us, save the world. Say that with me, save the world. So you look at anybody, anybody you see, anybody you know, they can be saved just like you're saved today, simply by taking Jesus and putting them in his heart. Or her heart. That's all they got to do. They've got to accept him. And I tell you this by just wisdom and knowledge. The more you accept him in your heart, the more you love him, the more you want to love him. And the more you want to love him, the more you lean on him when times are hard. Because that's where your peace comes. That's where your strength comes. And the love of God that lives inside of you is greater than any love you'll ever experience when you truly love him like that, when you know him. Jesus came, and this is important. Please, you might want to write this down. He came to be our mediator. Say that with me. Mediator. What does that mean? He paid the price for your sin, and now he's going to stand between you and who? So you go where? To who? Jesus. You go to Jesus because he paid the price for who? You. So he is now your mediator. He is standing there, the blood. We are a new creation. Do you know what it means to be covered in the blood of Christ? I mean, people talk about it all the time, but what it really means? You ever take a picture with a camera, and if it's a little dark, you can make it lighter, or you can change the colors, or you can adjust it, called the filter. Anybody with cameras understand, Jim, you know, the filter takes different kind of a pictures, and you can adjust it. When you're covered by the blood of Christ, hallelujah, when you're covered by the blood of Christ, when God up in heaven looks down, he sees that filter. He sees it around you. He sees the blood around you like a filter. You might not see it. You might even kind of just think it's crazy to think about. But when God the Father looks down, he sees you as a picture, a beautiful picture covered in that filter, covered in the blood. He sees you as family. He sees you as a child of God. He sees you as somebody who loves his Son. That's the difference. That's being covered in the blood of Christ. You might not accept it in the way that God does. That's fine. You might not see it that way. But the more you realize how God sees you is more important than how you see yourself. Because when he looks down from heaven, we are covered in that. And that picture of us, when you look in the mirror, you might not see it, but when God looks down, Karen, from heaven, he sees you covered because you love his Son. It's a whole different picture. It's a whole different filter. Everything is changed than what you can understand. And that's why we hang on to it. It's so beautiful. It's just so beautiful. We're clean. When God looks down from heaven, he sees you as holy. And the word holy simply means to be separated from. That's all the word holy means. Holy doesn't have a great meaning. It just means yours, that you're separated from the world. You're no longer part of the world. Yeah, we live in the world. We all want to live in the world. We all drive cars and we all have fun and we all go to lunch after. We live our lives with our family. But with God, we are separated from that world because we are now in God's sight holy. And why are we holy, Elder Pat? Because of the blood of Jesus that he sees over you. It's that powerful. It's that important for you to understand. And I'm telling you, the millions of people go to church every Sunday. This week they're going to be talking about the power of the blood, and they have no idea what they're talking about. The power of the blood is what keeps us, in line with the Word of God. It keeps us ready to receive what God has. God sees you in that way, separated. Through the filter of his own Son, clean, holy, separated from the world. And he will give it to anyone who asks. Who will he give it to? Anyone. You might hate the guy in Washington today, and I'm sorry, but if he calls on God, God's going to answer him. Because that's the God we love. You might hate your neighbor today, but I'm sorry, God's going to answer him. You might hate somebody in prison. That guy in prison did the worst things ever. But when he picks up this Bible and says, Lord, forgive me, he's going to receive that forgiveness if he accepts Jesus in his heart. He may have to pay the penalty of what he did, the consequences of his sin against the law here. But God will accept him. We always kind of said in church, you'll be surprised who you're going to see there and who you won't. I don't judge anybody. I want to see everybody. I want to make sure I'm there. Each and every day I wake up and thank him for the day. And I think of my mother. I think of my father. I think of my family members. I think of people who I've lost, saying, that's my hope. My hope for tomorrow is I'm going to be with my mother again someday. And the closer you get, the fear of wanting to, that's what carries you through. I'm going to see my brother again. I'm going to hold my mother's going to hug me again. That's my belief because I love the God of the Bible. Amen? There's a lot of other religions that have burnt offerings and sacrifices. In fact, there's some religions that actually sacrifice children, which is an abomination to God, by the way. Don't even think about it. But that they're sacrificing to their own gods. We're sacrificing to the God of creation. Thank you, Lord. Anyone who will accept him. Thank you, Lord. That's so cool. I wrote something down this morning, and I'm just looking at my paper, and I realized that I actually wrote it down 2 days ago, and it's right there, too, because it's so powerful. Who are we in the Lord? We are covered by the blood of the Lord, the blood of Jesus. Who are you? Will you accept what I'm going to read? How many will accept what I'm going to read to you today? Just give them some praise if you're going to accept what I'm going to read to you today. Because it's no lie, like I told you last week, don't believe me. George Mako, don't believe me. Believe God. Believe the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to the book of Hebrews. Starting with 9:11. Listen to this. But Christ, who? Came as a high priest of the good things to come. With the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Listen. Christ came not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all. How many times? For who? How many times on Sunday when we're doing the Lord's Supper I say that he did it once for all. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled with unclean sanctifies us for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, than goats and calves and bulls and all them other animals that they had to do, the heifer, the burning, the sacrificing, how much more did one sacrifice the Son of God do for us? Therefore, brethren, having boldness. Does anybody know what boldness is? You know what boldness is, amen? You know what being bold is. Now the Bible's telling us, you need to be bold. You need to stiffen them legs and be bold. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much more as you see in the day approaching. Hallelujah. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many will believe me this morning? If I read something to you today from the Bible, will you believe me this morning? Okay. Therefore, Timothy, Paul is telling us, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. How many men? All men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. How many? And to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, this is going to confuse some people. I know the first few times I read it, I had to go to God. But I want you to listen to this. For there is one God. How many? And one mediator. How many? Between God and man. Let me read that again. I want you to understand where you sit with God. I want you to understand that the blood over you and the filter, when God looks down and sees you holy, I want you to understand what the Bible is saying today. I want you to take this and pray about it. For there is one God. How many? And one mediator. How many? Between God and who? So who is between you and God? Nobody. No, there's nobody between you. Just Jesus. Hallelujah. That's right. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And then he goes on to say, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. But he says, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Preaching the truth in Christ. Brothers and sisters, to him who loved us and washed us from the sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. He made you kings. He has made you priests. You don't need anybody but Jesus as the mediator. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God sees you because you are covered by the blood of Christ. When you say there's power in the blood, that's the power that you get being covered in that blood of Christ. It's so absolutely amazing grace that he gave us, so powerful to understand and to realize that God the Father sees you in a way that you can't even understand, but just believe it. He sees you holy. He sees you separated. He sees you without blemish, without spot, simply because you're under the blood of Christ. Give him praise, church.
To thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
one mediator. How many? Between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher. I am speaking the truth of Christ.
And not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I know we learned a lot of things when we were growing up and a lot of ways that we had to do things. I just want you to know the way God sees you. I want you to know that God loves you and that personal relationship with Him is the most important thing to have in your life. A personal relationship with God. You come to church to hear the word and fellowship with one another, but have that personal time with God, that quiet time with God, and allow Him to talk. Allow Him to reach you. Allow Him to reach your spirit, because what He has for you is greater than what you can imagine if you would just allow Him to. When you have these problems and you need to pray and you need to confess, you go to God. You go to God. Get on your knees sometimes if you have to. Or just sitting or just driving in your car. You can always get close to God. He's always ready to listen. Always willing to listen and take you and guide you. He will talk to you if you would just open up. There's one God, one mediator, and that's all you need to know to be with Him. We are covered in the blood of Christ. What's going to happen this Palm Sunday, this is where He gets on that cross and where He sheds His blood for the remission of our sins. It's no longer watching Him shed His blood, but God the Father looking down and seeing you covered in that blood. Please understand one more time. Let me just say, God the Father looks down through that filter and sees you, each and every one of you here today. Each and every one of you here today, He sees you as holy. He sees you as clean. He sees you as part of the family of Christ simply because of what Jesus did for us. It's that powerful.
Thank you, Mother.
After He did all that for His people, after Jesus sacrificed His life, He simply asked His people to do this in remembrance of what He did for us on that cross. We do this every Sunday, but you can do this in your house anytime you want to take a second to give Him thanks. It says in Corinthians that He took the bread and blessed and broke it, saying, "This is my body being torn for you. I'm going to stand in the gap for you. I'm going to take the chastisement of your sins upon me." And He said, "Eat and do this in remembrance of me." This Jesus, our Lord and Savior. As Father looks down from heaven, let him see us doing this in remembrance of his Son, in Jesus' name. Woman that said in the Bible, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. As he walked by, if only I can just reach out and touch his clothes, I shall be healed. I know I could be healed. If only I just touched his clothing. Didn't have to talk, didn't have to pray for him, didn't have to have him say anything. That she just touched the garment that he wore. And she touched the garment. And he looked at her and he said, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. There's power and healing in the blood of Christ. He took the blood, the wine, and poured it into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. No, he's going to cover you. We're going to be protected from the effects and the cause of sin because of this blood. But there's healing power. And your faith, the more you believe, the healing power is rich. It never stops. He loves us so much in this blood. He said to drink and do this in remembrance of him. Receive the healing powers this morning. Thank you. Receive with faith this morning the power of the blood of Christ. It's just a symbol. That juice is just a symbol. We're doing what according to the Bible said to do. In remembrance. Nobody has to get on a cross again. Nobody has to bleed again. Nobody has to have that pain again. Just remembrance. Giving thanks. There's healing in that blood. If only I could touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made healed. Thank you, Lord. Your faith has made you well this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Not for the trials and the tribulations that we face. We thank God for getting us through the trials and tribulations. Because each day in life, this is called life. In life, so many trials and tribulations that you almost have to laugh. Something different every day. Something new that we need to pray about. Old worries come back. New things happening. Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, Lord, help me. Oh God, help me. And he is faithful. First have the peace of Christ in you. And then be able to deal with the trials and tribulations. God will always make a way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The trials and tribulations of everybody in this church, your pastor included, each and every day. You almost have to smile when you're talking to God. Say, yep, it's me again, Lord. I got this problem. Praise God. But I go to him, church, because I know he hears me. I go to him because I trust that he hears me. And he does answer. That's why I go to him. We are covered in the blood of Christ. We are filtered. When the Father looks down, we are holy. We are kings. We are priests in the eyes of our Father in heaven. Let's do this in remembrance of Jesus for what he did for us. Be healed this morning. Let your heart be healed this morning. Don't lean on your own understanding today. Lean on God's. You are kings this morning. Kings, I say. And you are priests this morning. And animals are a lot happier today. They don't have to be sacrificed. You should just rejoice in that if you want. God made us kings and priests. God made us and set us holy. And this is the time of our celebration. These next 2 weeks, we celebrate Jesus. Give Him praise, church.